Tonight, breaking news as we come on the air. Just a short time ago, an FDA panel now recommending emergency use authorization for the one-shot Johnson & Johnson vaccine. The newest weapon against COVID here in the U.S., Johnson & Johnson's vaccine, 85% effective against severe cases of COVID, 100% effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. It can be stored in normal refrigeration. How many doses will be shipped right away? How many next month? And what you need to know tonight about this one-shot vaccine that many are calling a game changer. Also tonight, the Biden administration declassifying the report on the murder of U.S.-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi, pointing the blame at Saudi Arabia's crown prince, accusing him of approving the brutal attack. The sanctions just issued tonight, but not for the crown prince. Arthur Raddatz with late reporting. We're also learning more tonight about President Biden's first known military action, the airstrike in Syria. Who was targeted? The action in retaliation for an attack that killed a contractor and injured U.S. service members in Iraq. President Biden, meanwhile, in Texas today after the devastating storms, after millions lost power for days, boiling their water, and some then getting bills for thousands for just a couple of days of power. Who will be held accountable? This evening, all eyes on the Hill as the House now votes on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill, $1,400 stimulus checks for most Americans, and a $400 weekly unemployment benefit. Late details from Rachel Scott. The chilling attack here in New York City, an Asian American man stabbed. The number of cases against Asian Americans growing in this pandemic. Police are now reviewing surveillance video, calling it a hate crime tonight. The massive fire erupting outside Los Angeles, smoke and flames seen for miles, then multiple buses going up in flames too. There is news tonight after that horrific attack on Lady Gaga's dog walker, shot and wounded, and what we've learned. The new interview with Prince Harry making global headlines tonight, his very candid answer when explaining why he stepped away from royal duties. And tonight, her groundbreaking role celebrated on the big screen, a hidden figure, no more.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here as we near the end of another week together. And we begin tonight with the news coming in just a short time ago, that key FDA panel now recommending emergency use authorization. The U.S. will very soon have a third weapon against the coronavirus. Johnson & Johnson's one-shot vaccine, 3 to 4 million doses ready to be shipped out right away. The FDA advisors, doctors, and scientists recommending the vaccine late today in a unanimous vote. Of course, the big difference with this vaccine, just one shot, and they say it's 100% effective in preventing hospitalizations and deaths, and that it was tested in communities with concerning variants, and that it still performed well. President Biden in Houston today promising to use every conceivable way to expand manufacturing of vaccines in this country. Pfizer and Moderna already promising to make enough vaccine to give shots to all Americans by July. And now comes Johnson & Johnson tonight promising another 100 million by June. So you do the math, and this could very well boost the pace of this. So far, 47 million have received at least one dose, more than 14% of the population. Tonight, the pictures, the 101st Airborne deploying to Orlando to help at FEMA vaccination sites. But this, of course, is still a race against the variants. And the head of the CDC just today saying she is very concerned that the number of new cases of the virus are now leveling off at a high number, saying the data may reflect the, quote, beginning effects of these new variants. But first tonight, the news just in on this one-dose vaccine, and ABC's Whit Johnson leads us off right here in New York tonight.
Tonight, an imminent game changer in the fight against coronavirus. An FDA advisory panel voting unanimously to recommend Johnson & Johnson's one-shot vaccine.
The majority voted yes. We do have a favorable vote.
Clinical studies showing the vaccine provides strong protection, 85% effective against severe illness, 100% at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. And another critical finding, early data suggesting the shot may also offer 74% protection against asymptomatic infections, making those vaccinated less likely to spread the disease. The FDA saying the vaccine had the expected side effects like fever and fatigue, and the company is looking into preliminary reports of two severe allergic reactions as seen in other vaccines, but top health experts calling it safe.
We now have three highly effective vaccines. Importantly, Each of them are very effective against severe disease, and virtually all of them say that you look at the data and it's clear that you get essentially no hospitalizations or deaths in any of them. This is very good news.
And unlike the others, J&J was tested in communities with concerning variants and still performed well. The Johnson & Johnson vaccine is also easier to store at normal refrigerated temperatures.
We need vaccines that are effective and well-tolerated, and importantly, ones that are simple to deploy.
Teams inside this lab near Baltimore have been working around the clock on the vaccine.
Since September, that's really when the manufacturing started, our engineering runs, and we've been in constant production since.
From plants in Louisville and Memphis, up to 4 million doses ready to ship out within days of getting the green light, and 100 million by the end of June. That's when the country could see enough vaccine for all American adults. And by the end of July, Moderna and Pfizer will deliver the last of their 600 million doses, which would mean a surplus.
I used the Defense Production Act to speed up the supply chain for key equipment that's already helped increase vaccine production.
But today, some health officials concerned about the variants, noting the recent plunge in cases may be stalling with an uptick in the last 3 days.
The latest data suggests that these declines may be stalling, potentially leveling off at still a very high number. We at CDC consider this a very concerning shift in the trajectory.
Still, the race to vaccinate is picking up steam. The 101st Airborne Division deploying to Orlando to support vaccination efforts there. And those shipments delayed by the storm now flowing in the Northeast. New York adding overnight shifts at mass vaccination sites after getting extra supply.
A lot has now come in, so we're going to blitz this week.
All of this very encouraging. Whit Johnson with us now from a vaccination site at Citi Field tonight. And Whit, that unanimous vote late today from the FDA advisory panel. So walk us through what's expected in the coming hours, how soon we could see shots in arms across the country with this one-shot vaccine.
David, final authorization from the FDA is expected within the next 24 hours. Then on Sunday, a CDC panel will meet to discuss prioritizing the deployment of this new vaccine. Those first shipments could go out as early as Monday, with the potential for shots in arms by Tuesday. David.
All right, Whit Johnson, we'll see you here at the Anchor Desk this weekend. Whit, thank you. The other major story this Friday night, the Biden administration declassifying the report on the murder of U.S.-based journalist Jamal Khashoggi. You'll remember he was last seen walking into that Saudi consulate in Istanbul in 2018. Tonight, the Biden administration now pointing the blame at Saudi Arabia's crown prince, accusing him of approving the brutal attack. Sanctions have now been issued on multiple people, but not on the crown prince. Here's our chief global affairs correspondent, Martha Raddatz, tonight.
He is the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, heir to the kingdom, a powerful ally that a U.S. intelligence report now accuses of approving the 2018 brutal murder of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi in Istanbul. The previously classified assessment citing the direct involvement of a key advisor and members of Mohammed bin Salman's protective detail in the operation and bin Salman's support for using violent measures to silence dissidents abroad. Officials saying it's highly unlikely that Saudi officials would have carried out such an operation without his authorization. The Biden administration saying what the Trump administration was not willing to say. In fact, President Trump defended the crown prince.
Nobody so far has pointed directly a finger at the future king of Saudi Arabia.
But the White House unveiling a Khashoggi policy, imposing visa restrictions on foreign officials believed to be directly involved in plots against dissidents, starting with 76 Saudis. The Treasury Department also sanctioning one former Saudi official, but not bin Salman himself.
So let's get right to Martha Raddatz tonight. And Martha, there are dozens of Saudis now, as you point out, with bans and sanctions against them. You pointed out the number 76 Saudis. But nothing against the crown prince?
That's right, David, and that concerns some on the Hill. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff saying bin Salman has blood on his hands, calling it a fundamental problem if you conclude he approved the kill, but only hold those people who followed the orders accountable. And we should add, David, that the Saudis say the assessment is inaccurate.
All right, Martha Raddatz, we have one more question for you while you're with us tonight, because you'll remember last night while we were on the air, we learned of President Biden's first known military action since taking office, those airstrikes in Syria by two F-15 fighter jets. The targets we now know are Iran-backed militia groups, and tonight we're learning more about where they were targeted and why.
We are, David. Two F-15 fighter jets targeted the compound of Iranian-backed militias near the Iraqi border. The airstrike was in retaliation for the rocket attacks against a coalition base in Erbil, Iraq, early last week, believed to be carried out by those same militias. An American service member and an American contractor were wounded, and a contractor who worked for the coalition was killed. President Biden was asked about what message he was trying to send Iran with the airstrikes. He said, "You can't act with impunity." Then he paused and added, "David, be careful."
Martha Raddatz tonight on the comments from the president just a short time ago. Thank you. And as you saw earlier, President Biden was in Texas today after the devastating storms there, after millions lost power for days, boiling their water, and some then getting bills in the thousands of dollars for just a couple of days of power. Many had the money automatically withdrawn from their accounts. So who will be held accountable? Our senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce traveling with the president tonight.
President Biden touching down in Texas today to get a firsthand look at the recovery effort, fist bumping the Republican governor on the tarmac. The president and first lady stopping at this massive food distribution center. Biden hugging a little girl there volunteering with her family. More than 575,000 Texans are still under boil water notices tonight. Across the state, responding to the storm has already cost counties more than an estimated $165 million.
When a crisis hits our states, like the one that hit Texas, it's not a Republican or Democrat who's hurting. It's our fellow Americans who are hurting. And it's our job to help everyone in need. Look out for one another. Leave nobody behind.
Just 5 miles down the road from the president tonight, we met Monica Ware outside the motel where she's now staying with her husband and four young children. Their home destroyed, flooded when the power went out and the pipes burst.
We lost good 85 to 90% of our items and our stuff, our belongings, everything we had.
What you've just described is really hard to imagine.
It is, but, you know, I can't think about me right now. I can't really, like, let it affect me. Because I have them, and I just got to stay positive.
So many Texans facing huge bills from power companies after the storm. Today, one woman filing a $1 billion class action lawsuit after she was slapped with a $9,000 charge. Some of that money automatically deducted from her bank account, and she wants it back.
Important questions. We got to keep asking them. Let's get right to Mary Bruce. She's live in Houston tonight. And Mary, really a long way to go for Texas. Millions of families waiting for help. Many, I know, welcoming the visit, but they want action, too. And it was somewhat striking today, though it really shouldn't be, but it still was in this deeply polarized time. President Biden with the Republican governor of Texas, the fist bump, also with one of the Republican senators today, a show of force from across the aisle.
David, it really was, but also notably absent was Republican Senator Ted Cruz. He was actually in Florida today giving a political speech at a conservative conference where he joked about taking that trip to Mexico in the midst of this crisis, that vacation that sparked so much outrage. The White House today saying there was, quote, neither an invitation nor a request for Cruz to attend the president's events here today. David.
Mary Bruce live in Houston on a Friday night. Mary, thank you. And Mary, as you know, this evening, all eyes on Capitol Hill as the House now votes on President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill. In the bill, those stimulus checks for most Americans, plus a weekly unemployment benefit, also money for vaccines and schools. So let's get right to Rachel Scott back up on the Hill tonight with late reporting and some of the numbers in this bill. Rachel?
Well, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, David, calling this a major step forward. And lawmakers are up against a deadline here. On March 14th, unemployment benefits for millions of Americans are set to expire. So Democrats are now racing to get this bill on President Joe Biden's desk before then. Now, it would include $1,400 in stimulus checks to most Americans. It would also expand the unemployment benefits and the child tax credit. And it also includes billions more for vaccines and testing. Republicans, though, still opposed to that overall price tag, $1.9 trillion. They want more targeted relief. And Democrats are not getting everything they want here either. That push for that $15 an hour minimum wage hike will likely be stripped from the Senate's version of that bill. David, the federal minimum wage has not been raised since 2009, still sitting at $7.25 an hour, David.
All right, Rachel Scott watching this into the night. Rachel, thank you. In the meantime, we have been reporting on the growing number of attacks on Asian Americans across this country. And tonight here in New York, a vicious and brutal attack, the suspect allegedly stabbing the victim from behind. Police are now reviewing surveillance, and that suspect now charged with a hate crime. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef tonight.
Tonight, the NYPD arresting this 23-year-old Brooklyn man after this brutal knife attack Thursday night in New York City's Chinatown. Police say the 36-year-old victim, seen here in security camera video now being reviewed by police, was walking alone when Salman Muflihi allegedly stabs him in the back with this 8-inch knife. Authorities say Muflihi then ran to a security guard and confessed to the stabbing, yelling, "I just stabbed someone. Where are the police at?" Police say he later told detectives he carried out the attack against the victim because he didn't like the way he looked at him. The victim taken to a hospital but is expected to survive. Muflihi has been charged with second-degree attempted murder as a hate crime. This, the latest incident in a string of disturbing and violent attacks targeting the Asian community in New York City and across the nation.
This is thoroughly unacceptable, and we will not stand for it. We will fight it.
Late today, the NYPD releasing this surveillance video of an attack on Tuesday, asking for help in identifying this suspect seen here approaching this Asian woman, dragging her to the ground and punching her before running off with her purse.
And David, records say that Muflihi has at least three prior arrests, one for allegedly punching an Asian man in the back of the head in Brooklyn in January. He is set to be arraigned sometime tonight in this case. David?
Just an awful story. Ariel Reshef tonight. Ariel, thank you. And when we come back here, the massive inferno outside Los Angeles, smoke and flames seen for miles. And an update tonight after that horrific attack on Lady Gaga's dog walker, shot and wounded, and what we've now learned.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
Now to the major inferno raging outside Los Angeles. More than 100 firefighters on the scene at this hour. Fast-moving flames erupting at an industrial complex. The fire then igniting buses parked nearby. No reports of injuries or a cause. And there's news tonight after the shooting of Lady Gaga's dog walker in Los Angeles. TMZ obtaining that surveillance showing Ray Fisher shot and wounded, struggling with two suspects. Two of the singer's French bulldogs stolen. Police say one suspect was armed with a semi-automatic handgun. That dog walker is now out of the ICU tonight and in stable condition. Lady Gaga's father calling all of this a disgusting act. Prince Harry, in his own words on why he stepped away from royal duties, appearing on The Late Late Show with James Corden, he says he left the UK to protect his family and his own mental health.
Really difficult environment, as I think a lot of people saw. We all know what the British press can be like. And it was destroying my mental health. I was
really?
Like, this is toxic.
Yeah.
So I did what any husband and what any father would do, is like, I need to get my family out of here.
Harry and Meghan now live in California with their son Archie and, of course, a baby on the way. Finally tonight, Hidden No More. Tonight, history made. NASA naming their headquarters building in Washington, D.C. after Mary W. Jackson, NASA's first black woman engineer.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Part of a small group of black women hired as mathematicians at NASA. She was known as one of the human computers at Langley, Jackson on the far right. Her role portrayed in the film Hidden Figures by actress Janelle Monáe.
If you were a white male, would you wish to be an engineer?
I wouldn't have to. I'd already be one.
Jackson became the first black female engineer at NASA in 1958 after being granted special permission to attend class at the then segregated engineering school.
I plan on being an engineer at NASA, but I can't do that without taking them classes at that all-white high school. And I can't change the color of my skin. So I have no choice but to be the first.
She graduated and went on to lead programs that helped in the hiring and promotion of women at NASA. Today at NASA, her former colleague and fellow human computer, Christine Darden.
She made a very special effort to meet these young aerospace engineers, to welcome them, to show them hospitality, and to give them advice.
Mary Jackson's grandchildren remembering her too.
My grandmother was an amazing woman. She paved the way for so many without us even knowing, because she was a warrior, someone who wouldn't take no for an answer.
Grandma was a very loving, caring, and feisty woman. She was always our hero. She was always our star.
A star indeed, a hidden figure, now a celebrated one.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.